Hey there, foreigners. This is Rohit from BreakingTheBorders.com, home of the ambitious immigrants. Today's guest is a father, marathoner, triathlete, online businessman, speaker, and a coach. He is Timo Keander. Well, how does Timo manage all of this? That's precisely his area of expertise, productivity. He is a full-time blogger at productivesuperdad.com, and he's been featured in a number of podcasts and blogs, including Forbes and Lifehacker. Timo does it all from his home in Finland. I invited Timo to teach us how to be more productive. Timo, welcome to Breaking the Borders podcast.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for coming, Timo. Congratulations on the success of your blog.
Thank you. It has been a very, very big project of mine, and at the end of December, it's going to be the fifth, or actually the sixth year of Productive Super Dad. So, it's really, really amazing how the time has, you know, went by very fast, and the blog still continues to develop all the time, and some big things are coming in the near future. But yeah, it's a very exciting time to be a blogger and grow your online audience.
Yeah, I was really enticed by the name Super Dad, Timo. Mm-hmm. I never heard it before your blog, but when I hear it, I know exactly what you mean by that. I'm curious to know, how did you come up with it?
Well, actually, this story goes back to 2012 when I hired a coach, and then we started brainstorming, naming ideas for my blog, because it was about to be relaunched, and we also decided, or we did some research on which audience I should target my content towards, and then we decided that I should focus towards work at home dads, and I guess it was my coach's idea who then came up with the name Productive Super Dad, you know, combining lots of different things in my life, like the productivity team, but at the same time I had my full-time day job and I was you know, writing blog posts and running marathons and lots of other sports and having a family. So I guess that's pretty much the story behind the name mm-hmm. of my blog.
Yeah. So can you tell us about your life before you started blogging? What were you doing before you ever wrote your first blog post?
Yeah, so I basically worked in IT industry, and obviously I'm not working in that industry anymore, but I used to work in IT industry for over 15 years anyways. Mm-hmm. And I think that my life, say, like 10 years ago, looks very different when I look at it now, because it was completely different than what it is now. Like, I was a single guy, I didn't have a family, and my life was actually very, very passive one. I wasn't interested in productivity, and I wasn't any bit of organized, and I had very, very unhealthy eating habits, and I wasn't exercising, so I wasn't in a great shape. But then what happened back in 2006 was that after completing my first marathon, so things changed actually quite a bit, and basically what happened was that after starting regular exercising and started running, so what happened was that I actually wanted to not only improve my diet but also improve my personal self, and I got involved with self-improvement. I started reading those books and really wanted to learn how to take myself to another level, and it was sometime in 2007 when I actually happened to read David Allen's Getting Things Done, And that's basically how I got started with this whole productivity. I don't know why it was productivity that was so interesting. Somehow it just clicked inside my head and decided that this is something that I want to focus on. So
that was before the book that you read was before your marathon. The marathon was actually, in 2011, right? You said
it was actually after the marathon. So the marathon was in 2006, and and 2007 was the time when I first read about productivity, and that was David Allen's book, and that's basically how things changed. So I became very passionate about this topic, and then fast forward a couple of years, so I started my blog, and I was writing about productivity and personal development. And then I guess it was in 2011 when I decided that now I'm fully going to be focusing on productivity and nothing else. And that's basically what I'm doing right now. And the target audiences and the themes for the blog have changed throughout the years, but it's still the productivity that I'm focusing on.
Yeah, it's very interesting what you brought up. The it's called the domino effect, right? So you take up one habit and all the other habits fall through. That's very critical. And that lead domino was running for you, but for someone else, it could be something else. So when people come to me and ask me, how do I do a certain thing, I would encourage them to like try out different things so that something will be a lead domino for them, right? So Timo, you were doing all of this blogging, and you were being a dad and having a full-time job also at that time, right? So what made you go all in into this as a full-time endeavor in itself?
So basically, my story is as follows. So basically, what happened, like I said, that I was working in IT industry for over 15 years, and then what happened back in 2013 was that we had some layoffs in the company I worked for, and someone could say that unfortunately I was laid off, but I don't see it that way. I think that there is really two sides to everything that happens in our lives, and for me it was something that I wanted to do for a long, long time. Like, my ultimate goal was to retire someday and hand over my resignation and say that, hey, I don't want to work here anymore. But apparently the company I worked for did the decision for me, so they laid off some people and I was one of them. But I think that I was very fortunate, because I knew that I can now fully focus on the stuff that I want to be doing, and I don't have to do something which I do not like, even if it pays me money. But still I'm able to truly focus on the things that I'm passionate about, and I'm actually very fortunate that I was laid off, and I think that otherwise things would be definitely different right now. But
so at that time when you were let go from your job, did you already have a revenue making website going on, or did you have to figure out in urgency how to make money out of this?
Yeah, and I think that I'm saying that I'm still in the process of figuring it out. I mean, I already have certain ways to make money through this website and through the knowledge that I have, but at the time I didn't have anything, and I think that it all comes down to testing a lot of things, like really testing something and then figuring out if it's something that you want to do, and if it's something that you can turn into a revenue stream at some point. But at the time,
What I was really enticed about is you said it was a good transition, right? But at that time, going from like having a full-time job which is paying your bills to suddenly going to trying to figure out this online business thing which is not making revenue. Was that transition really, how did it feel at that time to make this transition?
Well, I think that one thing that really helped me, and this is of course something which depends of the country where you live, but I had worked already so many years for the same company, so they didn't just, you know, stop, you know, paying me monthly paycheck. I got a certain amount of months when I got paid, and then obviously what happens is that my income levels, you know, drop down because I'm not working full time anymore. But it was basically just adjusting your expenses and really making sure that all the necessary things, there is money for necessary things like paying the mortgage and paying for the gas and that kind of stuff. So it's really interesting to see that we as human beings are types of people who can actually adjust to different situations, and it may sound very dramatic at some point, but when you are actually living in that situation, so you are able to adjust, and especially if you're flexible with what you're doing, so things are going to be fine. At least that's basically what's happened with me, and I don't see that this is just me, that it can happen with anyone, really.
Yeah.
So
yeah, you're right, we're very flexible. I believe it is Tim Ferriss who talks about practicing poverty 1 week every quarter. So 1 week every 3 months, he goes into this mode of poverty where he's wearing a white shirt and blue jeans every single day and eating rice and beans to tell yourself that this is, after all, this is not that bad. Right. What was one thing that you really had to cut out from your day-to-day lives in order for you to be more efficient with your money?
I don't know. I mean, when it comes to money, I guess it was really all about, you know, cutting out all those unnecessary things like if I had any magazine subscriptions or anything like that, because I obviously didn't need them anymore. I think that for certain items, when you had to cut out something, you were perhaps a little bit scared at first how you're going to manage without it, but my experience shows that it's very easy to live with the change, and actually quite soon you forget this very thing that was part of your life, and like I said, that we are able to adjust to different situations, so it's not really that bad.
Yeah.
Really.
So when we earlier talked about the snowball effect, the domino effect, right? Like one good habit leads to another. And I believe that it works the other way as well, you know. One bad habit might have the domino effect of the other one. So when things are not going so well in one aspect, you tend to screw it up in others, right? So I was curious to know, how did you let that not impact other parts of your life? Other parts, you are still productive, still having this high achiever attitude, while you had a little bit of a hit in one area.
I don't know. I mean, it's really like I really wanted to really, for so long I wanted to focus on my own things, and I was so bored about my day job, and it was very mentally very very stressing time because doing something which you do not love to do and doing that from 9 to 5 every day, so it started to wear me down, and it was very very, I guess you could say, in a way it was very stressful because I didn't actually like spending my days that way, and I knew that if I had a chance to do something else, something that I'm really excited about, so my life would be so much more fulfilling, you know, in that sense. So I don't know. I mean, I guess that in my case, the transition has been actually very smooth. I know that it's not necessarily for someone else, but I'm just speaking on my behalf how things went, I'm still saying that I'm very happy to be in this situation where I am right now, because I'm able to really learn about the things that I want to learn about, and really teach about it and talk about it and write about it and do whatever I want to do, because it's really something that I want to do. So
So, Timo, before we go into any productivity techniques, I can see from a listener point of view, when you tell them something, okay, Timo is a productivity expert, and he's telling me whatever he says works for him for sure because he's a productivity expert. How about me? Was there ever a time when you struggled with productivity yourself?
I think that it happens to me. Well, I wouldn't say necessarily very often, but it happens, and it's always worth remembering that it will happen to any one of us, no matter how productive you are, because we are dealing with life, and life can throw us things that we cannot expect in advance, no matter how well we try to prepare or plan for something. But very often life has its own things that it doesn't tell us in advance, and things just happen. And there are days or moments when I do not feel that productive. I procrastinate like anyone else, but it's really part of the human nature. And I think that it's very important to understand that it happens to every one of us. And of course, I think that in those situations, what I try to do is that first of all, I try to analyze those things, like why did something happen in a certain way? What was actually causing this to happen? Like, for instance, let's say that there is this piece of work that I'm unable to do for some reason, and then I start to analyze that. Okay, well, last night I didn't sleep that well, and I know that's, and I guess this applies to anyone. Like if you do not sleep well, you are unable to focus, and then it becomes impossible to be as productive as you would normally be. So it's very important to understand those things, and then you are like, okay, well, I didn't sleep that well. Maybe that last cup of coffee was maybe too late in the afternoon, and that basically kept me awake, and that's why I wasn't able to get sleep, and that's why I wasn't able to finish all the work that I planned to do. So it's really all about like going backwards and really analyzing those things, what's happened, and then try to avoid that in the next time. But I think that at the same time, it's really all about learning, and people talk a lot about failures and becoming a failure and failing on things. But I think that it's more or less about learning and valuable lessons from life. So yes, I'm not productive all the time, but still I'm willing to learn and grow myself
Yeah,
that way. So.
what you just said, right, it also brings up another point, which is even after you do and apply all these principles, it's not going to be like you're going to be productive 100% of the time, right? So there are days, even after being knowing all the principles, that you won't apply, and that is when you go back and figure out why it hasn't worked on a particular day. And that happens to me all the time. I go in waves. Like 1 month I'm super, super productive, and there'll be 1 week where I'm like dead, It goes in waves. But I've never, when I go down, I again try to use motivation to get back on track, like some push from outside. But analyzing it and being aware of it seems to be a easier way to do it. I'll definitely try that. So let's start with something very simple, Timo. For someone who has never thought about productivity in their lives, what is the first thing that someone can implement right away to make them more productive?
Well, I think that there are really two ways to look at this thing. If you truly want to be productive, so then you have to go to the fundamentals and really understand what you want in your life. If you're just like the way that I used to be, like 10 years ago, like I didn't have any goals or any plans, so I was just living on autopilot day after day, and I didn't have any goals or anything for that matter. So it was quite obvious that my days were very very unproductive, and I procrastinated a lot because I didn't actually know what I was supposed to be doing. So I know that this thing, what I'm suggesting here, doesn't necessarily, it's not, let's put it like this. It's not necessarily the most quickest thing to do, but it's really the most beneficial thing that you can do for yourself. And it's really understanding what do you want? What do you want in your life? And really knowing that, because I think that the rest of the things that you are doing are more or less reflected to your goals. Like if you know that you should be doing this, and it's so much easier for you to plan your days and really understand that, okay, well, this certain activity doesn't really support my goals, so I might, you know, as well get rid of it and really try to, you know, gut out that distraction, because otherwise I'm not really focusing on the most essential things that I should be focusing on, and I'm not making progress. But really understanding that, spend a little time like the next day or whenever you have the moment, like 15 minutes or so, and really figure out the things that you want to do in your life, and then start planning your days according to those goals.
So when you say goals, right, how many goals are we talking about here? Is it the things like I want to be, I by the end of the week I want to get something done? Is that a goal? Or I want to be an online businessman by the end of the year? Is that the goal? Like what kind of goals are we talking about?
Yeah, well, the goals I'm talking about are definitely on a higher level. So for instance, let's say that let's imagine that you want to run a marathon like me. So I know that for me, that's really my main goal, and I know that there are certain things that I should be doing because of that goal, and there are certain things that I should quit doing because of that goal. So, you know, trying to keep those goals on a higher level, and then it all comes down to actually figuring out how you are going to get there, how you are going to reach that goal of yours, and it also comes down to figuring out what you are going to do the next week and what you are doing on a daily level. It all comes down from the top to bottom.
How often do you do the top level? How often do you write these goals down?
Well, I would say it really depends. Like I do not have any certain fixed schedule for this, but I think that last time I looked at my goals was like a couple of months ago. And right now they are the goals that I want to follow. But then again, you have to be very flexible on this, because we all know that no matter how exciting goals you might have, but once you get started with your goal, and then you might realize that this is not really for me, and I don't think that this is something that I should be doing. Like, let me give you an example. Like a couple of years ago, I wanted to start my own web design company because I was, and I guess on some level, I'm still very interested about that. I was a front-end developer and doing that kind of stuff in my former job. So I wanted to become a designer and start developing websites. And once I got into that, I actually managed to do one project for a friend, but then I realized that this is not for me. It doesn't seem right, and I'm not really doing something that I should be doing. So I guess the feeling comes from inside, and you just happen to know if something clicks inside of you, and you know that this is something that I should be doing. But then I decided to, hey, I'll just, you know, finish this project, and I'm done with it. And now I have at least tried, and then I have tested this idea in practice and see how well it works, and it didn't work for me. So
that's actually a success, writing the goal down and not following through or deciding that it's not for you is actually a success, right?
Yeah, it is, because then you're just you know, crossing that one thing off your goals list. You know that this is not for you, and then you can put your energies into something different. So no matter if you do not succeed in that traditional sense, but it's still a success because you know that this is not the thing that you should be putting your energies on. So
got it. And when you have the goals written, right, there are four or five goals, for example, let's say, it seems very daunting, you know. Oh, now I have to get all this done by the end of the year. You know what I mean? Like, how do you go about doing them once you have them written out?
I think that for me, I try to have different goals on different parts of my life. And then at the same time, I want to make sure that those goals are not actually eating each other's, I guess you could say eating each other's time. So for instance, like in my case, I have set goals for related to my health, for instance, like getting enough sleep, because I had this history where I didn't sleep that much in my former life, and I was very sleep deprived, and I didn't feel very well because of that. But that's obviously one thing. And then another thing is and to give you an example of this, is that I'm an athlete, and at the same time I'm building my online business, and I'm still actually in a process of figuring out what is the right balance to both of these worlds, like competing in competitions versus building my online business, because both of them are very important to me, but at the same time I don't want to have a situation where this other important goal is actually eating the time that is needed elsewhere. Like if I all of a sudden started exercising like 5 hours per day, so that would definitely affect to the amount of time that I have for my online business. So I think that it's a decision that you only know for yourself, mm-hmm. How much you are willing to devote your time on something, and what is really, because I think that in our lives that the most effective way is to look at things the way that you have one thing that you are trying to focus on, and it's really the thing that where you're putting most of the hours in, like you're really focusing on that one thing, and the rest of the goals you have could, for instance, support that's what one major goal. Like if my goal is to sleep like 7.5 hours every night, I know that it supports rest of the goals, like it helps me to become a better athlete because I recover much faster. It helps me to keep up my productivity and my creativity when I'm building my online business. I think that really, really dividing, like having a different areas in your life, health, relationships, and maybe business, and then try to find the balance between those, so that they are actually doable.
Yeah, so they are synergistic. One, they help either, yes. They help each other, like sleep and training, or sleep, they don't get in each other's way.
Yes, yeah.
Perfect. Focusing on one thing at a time, right? Why is that important?
Well, I think that it's quite obvious, because if you are trying to do a lot of things at the same time, and this is something that I actually, it's really funny because I have thinking about this lately, like when I was when I had my day job, and then I imagined the time when I'm a full-time blogger and doing this thing only, so I imagined that I had all the time to do a lot of stuff at the same time, and because the time is not an issue anymore, so I can do a lot of stuff, but it turns out that it's not the case, and I guess that even more when you are building something for yourself, like building an asset for yourself, so you really want to make sure that you are picking just the right projects and really trying to put your energies into those key projects, because you know that they are actually taking you further, because otherwise you end up in a situation that you are doing a lot of work, and it's not actually
no, but like you mentioned, right, Timo, when you're just focusing on one thing, but in spite of having doing it full time, am I not when you say one thing at a time, is like, okay, first focus on building your email list, for example. That is the one thing. And once you get to a certain milestone there, you focus on, let's say, the next thing, which is guest blogging. And then once you get there in 2 months, then you focus that kind of a thing, right? But am I not going to slow down the overall rate that at which I do things?
Well, I think that the reality is that in a very rare situations you can just focus on one thing. It's a fact. And what I mean by that is like for instance in my situation is that I'm writing books and I have a couple of other projects that I'm doing. I'm building a website which me and my partner are about to announce sometime later or earlier next year. But anyways, that's really one thing that I'm doing. But then at the same time, I'm building my email list, and they basically all go hand in hand because they support each other. And I think that this is really one of those synergy things that you have to do certain things not necessarily at the same time, like having a two keyboards and trying to do two things simultaneously. But what I'm talking about is that you still have to devote your time between the key projects, and having just one project is I wouldn't say it's impossible, but very often you end up doing something else because especially if it supports your main goal or main project. So in that sense, you have to do...
Then what else do you mean by focus on one thing at a time? Because this is something that you write a lot about on your blog, right?
Yeah, so basically what I'm doing, and it all comes down to focusing on the work that you're doing, like you are not writing your email while you're watching a YouTube video or trying to do multiple things literally at the same time. So for instance, when I'm doing something, I'm doing that, and then I look at my schedule. Okay, so I know I finished this thing, and the next hour or two I'm doing something different, whether it's the same project or different project. But I think that every item or every task has their time in my daily schedule, and I know that when I'm doing that, that's just what I'm doing. I'm not doing anything else. If it's writing, it's writing. And then the next hour, it could be like recording a video. But I'm not doing those things simultaneously, like trying to focus on that one thing that you're doing and then, you know, forget the rest for the time being.
Yeah. Okay. So can you tell us a little bit about the morning routines? What is your morning routine like and why is it important?
Well, it's important to understand that morning routines change over the years. At least it has happened to me, and the morning routine that I had, like, I don't know, 6 or 7 years ago is now different nowadays. Primarily because my priorities have changed and my lifestyle have changed, and I have a family, and all those things affect to your routine. But I think that what really makes routines very, very powerful is that you have this certain way of starting your day. And I think that at least for me, it's very comforting knowing that when I wake up, I meditate for 10 minutes and then I read. I think that having a routine is really a fine way to actually start your day. And I try to make sure that, or I like to call my routine a personal development hour, where I'm actually going through certain steps every morning. Like I wake up most of the mornings before my family wakes up, and then I meditate, I read a book, I write a gratitude journal, and do that kind of stuff. Because I know that when I'm doing those things, I'm actually ready to start my day and, you know, start doing my work. Because those things may seem very, very, very meaningless for some, but at least for me, they are very big things. And I want to make sure that they are the first things that I do because they matter a lot to me. And that's the way I start my work day every day.
So I have, you know, I start my day off well, and I have my goals listed down, and I know where to focus.
Yeah.
But then I'm on my email checking, and it's the time for checking email, let's say, but I hear about this new episode of my favorite show that came up, or I'm on Facebook and I see a new viral video that my friends are sharing. There are all these distractions that keep harping at us every single minute of the day. How do you deal with them?
Well, you know, I think that like what I mentioned in your previous question, or when we talked about focusing on one thing at a time, it means that I try to make sure that even though I'm doing some real work, but I also make sure that I have those moments for something unofficial or something which isn't necessarily work. So I think that what works for me is that I know that if there is this video or whatever, what is not related to my work, so you know, I allow myself to watch it or read it or whatever it is, but after I have done some work first, because it's kind of a reward for myself for doing some project related work first. And then I know that there is going to be this moment after I have finished some important work first, so that I know that I'm actually allowed to watch that video or go to Facebook or whatever. And it's not really like I'm not trying to erase that completely out of my days, because it would be useless and it would most likely backfire at some point. But really understanding that there is time for everything, and when you're doing the important things first, so it's the reward tastes much sweeter that way, because you know that you have done some work first.
Yeah.
So that's the way I tend to deal with those things.
What you know. Do you think is a good balance, Timo? I'm sure it depends on the person, but as something to start experimenting with, how much time in a day is good for fun activities or random distractions or catching up on
it is obviously very difficult to say what would be the right amount. I guess in some ways I try to, like in eating for instance, I try to follow the 80-20 rule, meaning that I want to make sure that I eat well and healthy 80% of the time, and then the rest of 20% I'm able to eat whatever I want, because there is the flexibility involved, and things are not too rigid. Like if I would say to myself that I have to eat super nutritious and healthy food all the time, and perhaps it would work for a couple of weeks or a month, but I know that at some point I would give up on that and my cravings would kick in. So I think that this is the same thing with distractions, it's okay to have them every once in a while, just to make sure that you are actually doing your real work first, and try to make sure that distraction stuff is not actually on a driver's seat, because otherwise you end up in a situation that month goes by and then you look at what you have achieved and then you realize that I watched, you know, 20 or so videos on YouTube or or spent like 5 hours a day on Facebook, and then it doesn't make you feel that good really. So so it's really all about maybe testing this a little bit. It's very difficult to give an estimate or an exact figure how much time you should be doing that. If you are doing a lot of work and you're getting you are making progress on each and every one of your key projects and money keeps coming in, so why not just, you know, like spend an hour with your videos or Facebook or whatever. So it's very difficult to say what it is, but.
Yeah. Yeah,
understanding the priorities first. Yeah.
Yeah. 80-20 seems like a good guideline, and I also like how you said about enjoying the small things, right? Like one thing that I get worried about is if I get so focused and productive that I'm going to get boring and none of my friends will hang out with me. But so I'm glad you mentioned it is important to do those 20% of things.
And I think that in many regards, the flexibility is very, very important when it comes to productivity, because earlier this year, what actually happened to me that I was in an execution mode, if you want to put it like that. Like I had a very tight schedule. I was, you know, fully planning my days, and I was super, super, super productive. I got a lot of work done. And then I ended up in a situation where I couldn't even stand at looking at my computer. I felt almost like sick when I looked at my computer, and I wasn't able to do any work, and I just had to, you know, slow down actually quite a bit, and even have some moments or days when I wasn't, you know, spending that much on my computer, and I had to do something completely different, like mowing the lawn or whatever. But in order not to fall into this very same situation, I'm an advocate of flexible and relaxed productivity, because I think that it's really the best way. It's really, you know, best of the both worlds in a way that you are getting things done and you're moving forward, but at the same time you are allowing yourself to do something which is not necessarily that productive.
So that also ensures that you don't fall off, you said, right? And you continue to being productive. Yeah. So I've been following your blog for a few months now, and your writing is spotless, right? Your English is very good. But when I talk to you, I can tell that you're not a native speaker, right?
Yeah.
Actually, tell us where you are, and I want to also know how you developed great English in writing.
Well, I live in Finland, and I'm not a native English speaker. I think that when it comes to writing, there is this one advantage, of course, I have written a lot of content already, and I write on a daily basis. So obviously, that makes me a better writer, because when I'm practicing writing, so it makes me a better writer. But at the same time, I think that when it comes to writing, there is this one advantage, and obviously, before I publish anything, so I make sure that I actually, well, first of all, I go through the text myself, but I also send it for someone else who can check it, and that other person is most likely a native English speaker, so that he or she can catch, you know, the most obvious errors and grammar mistakes that I'm making. So I think that it's really all about, you know, fine-tuning your content and fine-tuning your text before you publish it, because that way you are giving a very professional look at yourself and what you're doing, rather than just, you know, publishing content as is. So it would, I guess it would be terrible, you know, without any additional proofreading and editing. So I think that writing in that way is really, it's really funny, because even if you are not that a good writer, so when other people are going through your text and proofreading, so it can get maybe a little bit better. But when you're talking to someone, so it's much more obvious when someone is not a native speaker, so you can basically hear that right away from speech. So.
Yeah, I mean, I make grammatical errors all the time, and my audience can vouch for that. I get responses to my newsletter that things are wrong here and there, but it's a great, I will try to see if hiring someone for help seems like a great idea. So I wanted to ask, what is next for you and your blog, Timo? Where are you heading out, and anything else that you want our audience to check out at this point?
Well, if things are going as planned, so first of all, the name of the blog is going to change starting next week. So I'm actually retargeting my target audience a little bit. So the name of the blog is going to be Smart Productive Work, and the URL is going to be smartproductivework.com. And the reason behind that change is because, like I mentioned, that I worked in an IT industry for over 15 years, and I want to focus on those people who are working in an office. And I used to be an office worker myself, and nowadays I also work in an office, but I work in a home office. But I guess really the point what I'm trying to say here is that I'm really targeting those who are, I guess you could say, information or knowledge workers, in a way that they are working on their computers most of the day or all of their days, and really focusing on productivity on those parts. And that's basically what I have been writing about already. But I guess it's more or less about fine tuning the content a little bit and just changing the name so that it reflects better at what I'm doing next. Mm-hmm. So that's basically. Those are the big changes that are happening, but I guess the big changes are more or less about the naming of the blog and the URL of the blog. So the layout or anything else is not going to change at this point. So,
okay. So we will check out your blog, Smart Productive Work. Where mm-hmm. else can we find you online?
Well, another place to check out my work is to go to www.booksonproductivity.com. Which basically lists all the Kindle books that I have written so far. So they are all in one place. And I think that's it. That's pretty much it. So those two blogs. And of course the productivesuperdad.com address is still going to work, so I'm not dropping it off, at least not yet. So mm-hmm. you know, those addresses work.
Great. Thanks, Timo. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Sure. Great. Thanks for having me.
That was Timo Keander for you. I'm looking forward to implementing some of these productivity techniques myself. To summarize, it's start with the goals, focus on one thing at a time, and have fun while doing it. Sounds simple, doesn't it? How about you? What are you going to implement? Let me know. Shoot me an email at rohit@breakingtheborders.com. Have a good day.